We're going to continue to look at Zechariah tonight. Zechariah, I want you guys to really study the book of Zechariah from chapter 1 to verse 14, because Zechariah speaks of not only of the return, Jews that returned from Babylon. He was telling them that if you return to God, in chapter 1, if you return to God, God will return unto you. So he was telling them, he was starting off telling them where Haggai left off at. He was telling them, listen, continue to rebuild the temple. But he was also encouraging them that there was hope. There was hope of the Messiah. There was hope in the Messiah. And that hope is for us. Jesus have came. He sits at the right hand of the Father. What Jesus does? He sit there, and whatever struggles, whatever problem we're dealing with, we can go to Jesus. We can go to him. So let us take a dive and look at some of the scriptures. We're going to try to go through these and try to wrap this up as fast as we can. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, we ask, Father, that your word sink deep into our hearts, that we love you with all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our souls. That's what you want from us, to love you. You created us to serve you, to worship you, to praise you. In return, Father, you give us great thing, and that great thing is eternal life, to spend eternal life with you. Not only spend eternal life with you, but Father, there are blessings and favor as we live in this world. We ask tonight that you look down on those who are sick among us in the body of Christ here. Touch those, Father, the bodies that are sick, that are wrecked with various diseases. We ask today not only here, but ask you to bless our families. We ask you to continue to look down on Brother Fox and his family. We ask you to continue to look down on the elders of this congregation and the deacons of this congregation. Ask you to bless their families. But most of all, Father God, we're asking you to help us to live right, help us to do right. Father, that the world may see Jesus, your darling son, in our lives. And they ask the question, what must we do to be saved? And we can share that word to them and let them know how they can be saved. But Father, we have to live right. We have to do right. Father, we come to you tonight. Father, we ask that you look down on our government tonight as the war over in Iran and different parts of the country. Father, we ask that you stand in the midst of all of this because you are in control of everything. We say have mercy upon the world leaders and our government and all. We ask tonight, Father, for your forgiveness of anything that we have done and said to anybody, to anyone. But most of all, we ask for forgiveness, Father, whatever we have done toward you. Help us, keep us, teach us, watch over us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Let the saints of God say amen. Here we look at Zechariah. Zechariah was a prophet and a priest who returned from Babylon with Zerubbabel, the governor Zerubbabel, and the high priest Joshua. God used Haggai and Zechariah to encourage the return from Babylon. God used these two men to, God told them to rebuild the temple. Not only to rebuild the temple, but God told them to encourage the people, because they have been through so much, but God wanted to let them know that, listen, he was still in the midst of them. But not only did Zechariah tell them about rebuilding the temple or encouraging them, but Zechariah also had vision concerning the Messiah. When we look at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament, when you look back at Zechariah, there are scriptures in the New Testament tell us exactly what Zechariah was talking about. So many years back there, and when you look in the New Testament, all these things in the New Testament was fulfilled, what Zechariah was talking about. When we look at Zechariah and Haggai, God used these men not only down in Babylon, but he used them when they returned from Babylon to Jerusalem. It is something that how God will use people to come to us, and we may be doing something that God is displeased with, but he will use somebody to come to us to get us on the right path if we have an open heart to listen. We have to have an open heart to listen. That's what God did to the children of Israel, the return from captive from Babylon. He sent these two men to preach, to teach, to prophesy to them that don't be discouraged. Continue to build the temple. So that we have Zechariah vision, one of the vision in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 7 through 17. Zechariah sees a message reporting to God that the surrounding nation that have oppressed Judah are living in careless and sinful ease. Israel was asking, why isn't God punishing the wicked nation may prosper, but not forever. God will bring upon them the judgment they deserve. In Zechariah chapter 1, verses 8 through 21, Zechariah sees four horns representing four world powers that oppressed and scattered the people of Judah and Israel. Then he sees four craftsmen who will throw down these horns. God will do what he promised. After the evil nation have carried out his will and punishing his people, God will destroy those nations for their sins. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Zechariah sees a man measuring the city of Jerusalem. The city will one day be full with people, and God himself will be a wall surrounding the city. The city will be restored in God's future kingdom. God will keep his promise to protect his people. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Zechariah sees Joshua, the high priest, standing before God. Joshua's filthy clothes are exchanged for a clean garment. Listen to this. Satan, the accuser against him, are rejected by God. The story of Joshua, the high priest, pictured how the filthy clothes of sinners, how filthy clothes of sin are replaced with the pure linen of God's righteousness. Christ has taken our clothes of sin and replaced them with God's righteousness. See Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 4 of Zechariah. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Zechariah sees the lampstand that is continuously to keep burning by ultimate oil. All of this picture reminds the people that it is only through God's Spirit that they will succeed, not by their own might, resource, or power. The Spirit of God is given without measure. Human effort does not make a difference. The work of God is not accomplished in human strength. Zechariah's Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 and 4. Zechariah sees a flying scroll, which represents God's curse. By God's word and spirit, every person will be judged. The individual sin is the focus here, not the sin of the nation. Each person is responsible for his or her deeds. No one has an excuse. God's curse is a symbol of destruction on all sin. All sin will be judged and removed. Are you guys following me here? Are you writing these scriptures down? Are you following me? Zechariah sees a vision of a woman in a basket. She represents the wickedness of the nation. The angels pack the woman back into the basket and send her back to Babylon. Sin of the individual were judged in the last vision, chapter 5, verses 1 of Zechariah. Now sin is being removed from society. Sin has to be erased in order to clean up the nation and the individual. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Zechariah sees a vision of four horses and a chariot. The horses represent God's judgment on the world. One is sent north, the north direction from which most of Judah's enemies came. The other horses was patrolling the world, ready to execute judgment at God's command. Judgment will come upon those who oppose God's people. It will come in God's time and at his command. Here's some of Zechariah's visions, what he's talking about, what was taking places. These are the visions that Zechariah was having. When we look at chapter 1 in Zechariah, God called to return, a call to return to the Lord. In chapter 1, God said, if you return to me, I will return to you. And we're going to go through these. In the 8 month, chapter 1 of Zechariah, verses 1, in the 8 month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Bechaniah, the son of Adon. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declare the Lord, the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, said the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your forefathers to whom the earliest prophet proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty say. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practice. Zechariah is telling the people to turn from their evil ways and turn to God. God's message through Zechariah began with a call for the people to return to God, to repent. God was waiting for them to obey. He in turn promised to bless and to protect them. Do not be like your forefathers. God reminded the people of how he had given the same call to their forefathers through the earliest prophet, but they had not repented. One, because they had not turned from their evil ways. The forefathers missed their opportunity and suffered the consequences of warning of, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Two, if we live for sinful pleasure of the present world system, we too will miss God's plan for our lives. Here God is telling, here Zechariah is to return to the Lord. God said, your forefathers messed up, so this is what happened. Here you're seeing, here what you're seeing is Zechariah is writing a picture. It's saying, listen, God had mercy. God gave your forefathers an opportunity to do what was right, but they messed up because of stubbornness and stiff-necked. When we go back to Deuteronomy, if we read Deuteronomy, it's chapter 4, and we read that Moses is giving the children the instruction what they should do and how they should live. God warned the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Moses told them, this is what we must do. This is how we should live. Moses told them about the blessings and the curses. Moses told them, love the Lord thy God with all your soul, your heart, and your might. You would think that all that, listen, Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you was there with me. You heard the voice of the Lord in the clouds. You heard what he said. Nobody else, no other nation heard that, but you heard him. You heard what God said. Man. And you would think that they heard what they heard, the voice of God talking in the dark cloud. You would think, Brother Cliff, that they would, man, live and do what's right. But because being stiff-necked, wanted to be like other nations, so many of them died. So many of them died. You think about that. God, man, when I look at this and say, man, this is a scary thing that you heard the word of the Lord out of the dark cloud speaking. No other nation. Moses says, you are blessed, no other nation heard the voice of God but you. But as we read through the Bible, we find that Israel began to backslide, began to wander away from God. But you know the beauty part about all this, though? Jesus was in the midst of all of this. Jesus was in the midst of all of this. God needed a people for his son to come down through, and God he wasn't going to have it. You're not going to live any kind of way and think that you're going to get away with it. It's the same thing today for you and I. We just cannot live any kind of way and think we're going to get away with it. We can't do it because once we hear the word and we truly believe the word in our hearts, what God have done for us through Jesus, then we turn away from the word of God. You hear that word preach? Then you turn away from God. What is left for any of us when we turn away from God? The only place for us to do is go down. It's to go down. But here's Zechariah as we move on. In chapter 2, a man with a Mandarin line. In chapter 2. Starting at chapter 1. Then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. And I asked, where are you going? He answered me, to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide, how long it is. Then the angel who was speaking to me left another angel. Another angel came to meet him and said to him, run, tell the young man Zechariah, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it, and I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declare the Lord. Here, the angel is telling Zechariah, the man with the measuring line, Jerusalem was still in a pitiful condition. at the end of Babylon exile, the number of return was the number of the returnees was in a small group. God encouraged them by telling them that he was not through with Jerusalem. It will become the most gracious, glorious place on earth. The third vision looked ahead to the millennium kingdom, when the city will have no walls and will overflow with a great crowd of people. My Lord, I myself will be a wall, talking about the Lord. I myself will be the wall, its glory. In the millennium kingdom, the city wall will not need walls, for the Lord himself will be a wall of fire around. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. Even more important, glory in the midst of the people will make the whole city temple filled with the presence of the Lord. Get a chance, read Ezekiel chapter 43, 1 through 7. Even now among God's people, the church, God is in the midst of us. As long as we are giving and loving each other, loving one another, God will always be in the midst of us all. It is his will that God establish a relationship with each one of us. How do we establish a relationship with God? It is through his word. It is through communicating with him through prayer. It is letting him know that you have a sincere heart to do his will. God will always be a surrounding wall for us. So chapter 4, verses 5 of chapter 2. And I myself will be a wall of fire around, declare the Lord. And I will be the glorious within. Come, flee from the land of the north, declare the Lord. For I have scattered you to the fourth wind of heaven, declare the Lord. Come, O Zion, escape you who live in the daughter of Babylon. For this is what the Lord Almighty says, after he has honored me and has sent me against the nation. Flee. Are you guys understanding what I'm reading from Zach? Are you keeping up with me? We're still in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 5, verses 6. I'm kind of running through these. So here we looked at, come, flee from the land of the north, declare the Lord. For I have scattered you to the fourth wind of heaven, declare the Lord. Come, O Zion, escape you who live in the daughter of Babylon. For this is what the Lord Almighty says, after he has honored me and has sent me against the nation. Flee from the land of the north. Zechariah's instruction here can be interpreted on several different levels. One, rebuilding of the temple was a signal for more of the exiled Jews to return from Babylon. Number two, the Old Testament prophet also saw the future return of Jews at the end of the age. This will climax in the millennium kingdom. We can apply this in our own days as a call to flee from worldly pleasure, idolatry, drunkenness, filthy talking, filthy communication. We could look at this, flee, flee, we flee. He said, flee, flee. we must flee those things. We must flee from those things that God disapprove of. Let me stop for a second here. Then we're going to go to chapter 3. Let me stop for a second. I wonder why. I heard a young lady say this a long time ago. There are some things she loved the Lord, and she professed to be a Christian. But we had this conversation, and she said, "Brother Hobb, there are some things I'm just not going to give up." Man, how can you say that? God is saying, flee from those things that don't represent me. So how can you say there's things you just can't give up? So actually, you telling God, "I love you, but I don't love you. I want to worship you, but I don't want to worship you." Everything that is not of God, we must put away. Paul said we must put away these things. Don't represent God. Let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, here is the priest Zechariah is talking about the clean garment of the high priest. "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angels of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side." Let's pause there for a second. You remember Job? When you remember Job, when God asked Satan, "What are you doing here?" What do you say? to and fro. I'm going to and fro. The devil is the accuser. He go before God, try to accuse everything. Well, look at Lacey. Look at this brother. Look at that sister. I'm quite sure God probably said, "Well, look at yourself, devil. Look what you did. Look what you did against me. You caused for Adam and Eve to sin. Look at you." So, the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, Satan standing at the right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes, and he stood before the angel of the Lord and said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garment on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty say: if you will walk in my ways and keep my requirement, then you will govern my house and have charge over my court, and I will give you a place among these standing here." Here we look at Joshua. Joshua was representing the nation of Israel before God. Satan the accuser, see Matthew chapter 4, verses 10, stood opposite of him, signifying that the hindrance of the opposition to the temple rebuilding was really coming from Satan. He is still our adversary. He is still our accuser of the brother. Revelation 12 and 10. who seek to take advantage of us. Listen, the devil seeks to take advantage of you and I each and every day. The moment you wake up in the morning time, you have your cup of coffee sitting outside your bed, and you say, God, I thank you for giving me another day, for giving me another opportunity. The moment you stand up, Satan puts something in your head. He puts something in your head. Well, what you gonna do? Something shoot across your mind. You're like, I just got done praying to God. I just got done talking to the Savior. I just got done thanking him for what he have done for me. I just got done thanking him and praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And look what he did. I'm going to tell you what Brother Hobbs said. When that come across my mind, I said, not today, devil. Not today, devil. Not today. Not today, devil. You're not going to do that to me. Not today. I got up one morning and I just prayed. I prayed hard. I prayed for everybody. And I got up and walked to the kitchen to get something to eat. And something shot across my mind. Just that fast. I put my hand on the kitchen counter like this. And I began to pray. I began to pray. Lord, strengthen me. Heal my mind. Heal my thoughts. Keep the devil away from me. You know he wants to kill me. He wants to destroy my testimony. Lord, I ask you, stand ever before me so I don't make a wreck out of my life and lose my soul. That's what the devil wants all of us to do. We're sick. Something is wrecking our body, and the devil comes and says, you praying all, you listen, you continue to pray, you're still not being healed. And God says, yeah, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. You may not understand how I'm healing you, but I'm healing you. Believe that. The devil don't want us to be, he's the accuser. He don't want us to believe that. So we look at 3:3. Okay, we need to wrap this up. Let's go to verse 4. Let's go to chapter 4. The golden lampstand and the olive tree. Verse 4 says this, then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me as a man waking from his sleep. He asked me, what do you see? And I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top of the 7 lights on it with 7 channels to the light. Also, there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left. I asked the angels who was talking with me, what are these, my Lord? And he answered, do you not know these? He said, no, my Lord. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by spirit, it says the Lord Almighty. What are you? What are you, Almighty Mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become leveled ground. Then he will bring out the capstone and shout of God bless, God bless. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. The solid gold lampstand, the lampstand is an olive lamp. One, it has 7 light on all same level arranged under the bowl. Or under the bowl, the oil flows from the bowl to keep the lamp full. The bowl of oil symbolizes God excellent towards the God excellent and abundant power through the Holy Spirit. Two, each light had seven channels of lips with a wick, thus saying, thus giving 49 lights in all. These lamps represented God people given fulfillment of light to the world because of the abundant flow of the Holy Spirit. The two olive trees represent the royal priesthood ministry of Zerubbabel and Joshua. These two olive trees represented Zerubbabel and Joshua. God told them, listen, not by strength, not by power, but by my might and my spirit and my power. Not by might nor by power, but by spirit. Through this message, though this message was spoken to Zerubbabel, it applied to all believers today. Military power, your power, human power, whatever you may accomplish, whatever your work desire may be, whatever in this world you have accomplished that you own, but if you're a child of God, it is only through God that you can accomplish any of these things. Not by power, not by might. Let's take a look at the flying scroll in chapter 5. In chapter 5. In chapter 5, I looked again, and there before me was a flying scroll. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a flying scroll, 30 feet long, 50 feet wide." And he said to me, "This is the curse that is going out over the whole land, for according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished, and according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord Almighty declared it. I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of him who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in his house and destroy it, both its timber and stone." When we look at chapter 5, the flying scroll represent God cursing judgment against sinners in the land of Israel. Though God is merciful and patient, see 2 Peter 3:9, a time for judgment is coming that will quickly consume the wicked. The age of grace will someday come to an end. Judgment will soon be fulfilled. Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, and one day we're all going to be judged falsely, accusing one another of things that we don't know anything about. Let's look at chapter 6 briefly. The four chariot. In chapter 6, briefly, chapter 6, I looked up again, and there before me were four chariot coming out from between two mountains, mountain of brass. The first chariot had red horse, the second black, the third white, and the fourth dispelled all of them powerful. I asked the angels who were speaking to me, "What are these, my Lord?" The angels answered me, "These are four spirits of heaven going out from standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole world. The one with a black horse is going toward the north country, the one with the white horse toward the west, and the one with the dapple horse toward the south." Then the powerful horse went out. They were standing to go throughout the earth. And he said, go throughout the earth. So they went throughout the earth. The four spirit of heaven is his eight visions. Zechariah saw four war chariots between two brazen mountains. One, the color of the horse pulling the chariot was red, signifying war. Black horse signifying famine and death. And Diablo signified palace, destruction. Revelation chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. Most interpreters believe the chariot drawn by white horses represent the glory, victory of God, ages of judgment. Two, four spirits are actually angelic beings. These are God angels judging for the Lord himself. Chapter 7, let's go to chapter 7 real fast. Justice and mercy, not fasting. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, the month of Kiv. The people of Beth had sent together with their men to entreat the Lord by asking the priest of the house of the Lord Almighty. And the prophet said, I moan and fast in the fifth month as I have done for so many years. The Lord commanded Zechariah to make a crown of silver and gold and set it up on the head of Joshua, the high priest. The crowning of Joshua foreshadowed the crowning and the reign of Jesus, who is the branch, the Messiah. See Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 15. Jesus would be both priest and king. He would first do his priestly work and then reign. See Isaiah 53, verses 10, Luke chapter 24, 26. 2, at the present time, Jesus is our peace. See Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And in him we find God's kingdom, which exists in righteousness, peace, and joy, and holy. See Romans chapter 4, verses 17. The ultimate fulfillment of Christ's reign began in the millennium when he will rule on earth in a range of peace. Jesus is coming. Zechariah talked about the Messiah. There are a certain couple of chapters that we didn't get to, but Zechariah talked about the branch. He talked about the branch. My servant, the branch, Zechariah 3 and 8, the branch is Jesus. The correspondent to Mark, who presented him as the lowly slave, the man whose name is the branch. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. The correspondent to Luke, who present him as the perfect man. 4, the branch of Jehovah, Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2. This corresponded to John, who presented him as the mighty God. 5, the cornerstone, 3 and 9. See Isaiah 28, 16. See Psalms 118, 32. Matthew's 21 and 42. See the man Christ himself. Those are scriptures that I want you to look over. Read the entire book of Zechariah, and you find out the blessing that are in the book of Zechariah. I tried what I try to do tonight, there are several Bibles that I read from, but what I did tonight, I read from this Bible, because last time we came together, a lot of you was kind of like, okay, what type of Bible he reading from? So what I've done is to try my best to present Jesus to you, because it is all about him. It's all about him. And I hopefully tonight that I gave you some meat that you can chew on, because at the end of the day, we all got to stand before him and be judged. And I want to hear him say, well done, come in, faithful servant. I don't want to hear him say, away from me, your iniquity, depart from me. I don't want to hear him say that. So hopefully I said something tonight would help us along the way. Let us pray. Eternal Father, I come to you this night, Father, thanking you for this day that you